mean to be grateful? Well, it's easy enough. To be grateful is to be thankful. If someone does something for us that's kind or helpful or nice, we go, thank you. We're grateful for what you've done. But gratefulness really expands beyond that. Gratefulness is not just saying thank you for the little things. Grateful, we are grateful when what something has done for us impacts our lives in a way maybe that we didn't even anticipate or understand. That is when we are grateful. Our reading today is about such gratefulness. We find this in the Gospel of Luke, and it's a story of Jesus healing 10 men who are afflicted with a disease. The story begins with the words, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, this story takes place in a large section of the Gospel of Luke we call the travel narrative, because it begins with the words, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And then for 9 chapters, he travels through the area between Galilee and Jerusalem until he arrives in Jerusalem. But we know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, don't we? He's going to be executed, and he knows this as well. But still, he continues this journey. And for these 9 chapters, we encounter all number of stories and events and parables and miracles as Jesus meets with the people each day on the road. So here we are reminded once again, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus is going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. Ah, Samaria. When we hear about Samaria, we think of the Samaritans, the people who live there. And we remember that we don't like them. Well, the Jews didn't like them. They had long-held prejudices against them that had theological bases, cultural bases, racial bases, all sorts of reasons. Despite the fact that the Samaritans and the Jews worshiped the same God, the God of Abraham. But at some point there had been a division, and for this the Jews resented the Samaritans and really just looked down on them. And so we have here, we're told that Jesus is passing through Samaria. Now, if you're in Galilee and you want to get to Jerusalem, there are 2 roads you can take, the long road or the short road. The short road takes you through Samaria. So most Jews would take the long road, which would take them through Jericho, Jericho to Jerusalem. But here, Jesus is in this region, not really Samaria, not really Galilee, is in between this nebulous netherworld of this borderlands. And as he comes to a village, 10 men who have a skin disease. Now, traditionally, we call them lepers. It's not leprosy in the way we know of leprosy today. It's something else. We don't know exactly what it is, some dermatological condition, but it was bad enough that they were deemed to be unclean. Unclean theologically, because illness was a sign of sin, or so it was believed. And so these people were deemed unclean and pushed to the margins. They were pushed out of society, to the edges, to the fringes. So not only are they living in this borderland, they are pushed to the edge of the borderland. And there they've grouped together in some little community to survive. And as Jesus comes to his village, these men approach him, but they keep their distance because they're required to keep their distance. And according to Leviticus, the laws of Leviticus, they're also to announce unclean, unclean, so that no one would accidentally come in contact with them. But they don't call out unclean. They call out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Somehow they know who he is, and they address him with respect, and they pray for mercy. And we are told that when Jesus sees them, he says to them very simply, go and show yourself to the priest. There's no laying on of hands. There's no fancy ritual. There's no sacrifice of an animal. Jesus just says, go. you remember the story of Naaman, which we find in the Old Testament, Naaman was a Syrian commander of the armies. And he had leprosy, and he learned that there was a cure down in Israel. So he goes to Israel, and he finds the prophet Elijah, who tells him, go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. Well, remember, Naaman wasn't happy about that. The River Jordan, that's a ditch. We've got better rivers back home. But he did it anyway, and he was cured. None of that here. Jesus just says, go to the priest. Why the priest? Well, the priests are the ones who had the authority to declare these men to be clean again, ritually clean, and therefore they could return to society, get their lives back. And they go. They're not even healed yet. We read, as they're traveling along, as they go, they were made clean. Imagine you're told to go to the priest, and as you go, your skin begins to return to its original function, and you would be amazed, wouldn't you? And so they do what they're told. They go to see the priest, except for one. One turned around because he knew something had happened, and for this, he needed to give thanks. He needed to express his gratitude. So he goes back to the one who had caused this change in his life, this wonderful change, and he showed gratitude. He goes back to Jesus, and as he goes, he's praising God with a loud voice, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanks him. And then we get to the punchline. And he was a Samaritan. And you know the people, the Jews that are reading this story in Luke's gospel and hearing this story, they're going to be amazed. Oh, no, not the Samaritans again. We've already dealt with that parable about a good Samaritan, as if there is such a thing. But here we have another Samaritan who turns back. He's the one that turns back. And Jesus asks 3 questions. And if you'll notice, he's not asking these questions to the Samaritan who's prostrated at his feet. He's talking to the crowd there, the people that have watched all this take place. And his first question is, weren't there 10? Didn't I make 10 clean? Where are the other 9? Where are they? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And then to the Samaritan, he looks down and says, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. What a wonderful word that is, made you well. The others were made clean. He's made well. And it actually, the word means he's been saved. He's been made whole again. This man, because of his faith, not because of his actions, not because of his works, but because of the faith of the God that was in him, has responded in gratitude, and his soul has been made whole again. Not only can he return to society, not only can he interact with his family and friends, return to his village, but he has a deeper relationship with God. We gather here to give thanks. That is our job, to give thanks. I love the word. It says, did none of them return to give glory to God? The word glory in Greek is doxa, the root of our word doxology. And when is it that we use the word doxology? Here in worship, in response to the giving of the offering. After the offering, we sing the doxology. Praise God. We are in season of stewardship. You'll be receiving a letter this week with a pledge card and the request that you make a pledge to the church for 2026. And we do this not to raise money for the church, although that happens. The purpose of a pledge is an expression of faith. It is a way to give thanks. In addition to singing the doxology, we're expressing our gratitude to God for all the many gifts in our lives. We have so much. And for this, we should be grateful. We should be grateful to the core for all that we have. And so we say to God, "Here, here, O Lord," is a response. We give our time and our talent, we give our hearts, we give our lives to you. And yes, some of it does go to pay the lights and the utility bills, to pay for the person who stands up here and reminds you to be thankful to God, who reads from the scriptures and interprets the scriptures so that we together may grow in our faith. That is what we do. We give thanks. And gratefulness, from a theological perspective, is interesting because we don't have to be grateful just for the good things in our lives. As I've talked about the past couple of weeks, we can also be grateful for suffering, because suffering helps us understand the suffering of others. And that increases our empathy, so that when we see someone out there who's hungry or homeless or sick, we can have empathy for those people. And we can pray for them in God's name. So we can be thankful for the good, but we can also be thankful for the suffering. And that's a hard concept to wrap our heads around. People outside the church, I don't think they understand that at all. But it is unique to us as people of faith. I want to finish with a story of something that happened to me over the past 2 weeks. I shared this, the first part, with our Bible study 2 weeks ago. And there's been a continuation of the story. On Tuesday nights, I run with a running group, and we run on the Greenways in Donelson. And 2 weeks ago, we started out, ran out, and came back. And when we got back, we wait for everybody to come in, stand there at the kiosk, and under the kiosk, there's a bench. And I was talking to some guys about going out and getting some hamburgers. My wife had a dinner meeting that day. I had nothing at home, so I said, I'll go out with them. And we were making plans. And as I was standing there talking to them, I noticed there was a man sitting on the bench under the kiosk, an older white-haired fella. And I looked at him and realized he's probably unhoused. He had just a few things with him. So I went over and said hi. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? He said, yeah, I just got out of the hospital. I said, where are you staying? He goes, I'm going to probably stay here. It's going to rain tonight. And I go, do you have a tent? He goes, no, it was stolen. I got robbed not long ago, and they took everything I had, and apparently they beat him up as well. And I said, okay, and talked to him a few more minutes. And because my friends were leaving, I needed to go. My life was going on. So I went. Didn't think about him until the middle of the night, and I woke up and I realized I had done something terrible. I had done nothing at all. Opportunity to help somebody, and I didn't do anything. I did not have what we would call an attitude of gratitude in my heart, did I? So I started going back. When I go past that area, check in, drive through the parking lot, look, haven't seen him. Kept looking, didn't see him. This week was with the running group. We ran, we came back, and there he was. This time under the bridge, lying wrapped up in, looked like an old quilt. And so I stopped and talked to him, and I said, hey, we talked a couple weeks ago. He goes, yeah, I remember. I said, I've been looking for him. He says, I've been in the hospital. I went, okay. I said, do you still need a tent? He goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, can I buy you a tent? He said, that would be wonderful. I said, all right. Stay here. I'll be back in an hour. Go to Walmart, get the tent, come back. And so I go to Walmart, buy a tent. And then I got to looking around. Ooh, it needs a sleeping bag too. It's temperature is going to drop tomorrow. I knew that. And some food as well, and a flashlight. So I got some bananas and peanut butter and bread and some Gatorade and a few other things and a big hoagie sandwich and went back to him. And he was still there. And I said, I sat down and unpacked everything, showed him what I got. And he kept saying how grateful he was. I said, that's okay, just happy to help. Sorry it took so long. And we talked for a while. His name's Scott. He's from Middle Tennessee somewhere. Been a house painter all his life. Now had some issues and was out on the street. Had no family. And I was, glad I'd done what I did. Wish I'd been there 2 weeks earlier to help. And I tell this story, not to brag on myself. I didn't do anything wonderful. I didn't spend much more than I'd spend on filling up a tank of gas in my car. But it was good to help. And as I was working with this story this week, I got to realizing that I was one of the ones that got healed here. And 2 weeks ago, I was one of the nine. I just went off and did my thing, went to the priest. But the story worked on me, and I became the one that went back. Went back out of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all that I have. I left a man there literally to go eat. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the rich man who ate sumptuously every day, and Lazarus, who lived at his front door with nothing at all. That was me. But instead of creating the chasm between us, I decided to help. And that's good. So the story here is we can change. I mean, yes, we might be the nine, but we can learn to turn back and come back and make a change in our lives and in someone else's lives. We can bag food and send it somewhere in the world to meet people. I mean, to go to people and help people that we'll never know, we'll never meet. They will be grateful, I'm sure, but it doesn't matter if they're grateful, as long as we're grateful, as long as we give out of our gratefulness, as long as we sacrifice out of our gratefulness. So once again, I ask you, as you think about your pledge for next year, to be generous, but also to reflect on why you are grateful. Amen.